power of our diplomacy. Diplomacy.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really big deal.
The strength of our diplomacy.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
It does sound fun.
Six, five, four, one. Deadline.
Well, it's episode 28 of Diplomacy Cast already.
I can't believe it, actually.
I know.
Because, frankly, that's more digits than we have.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, not together, but individually.
That's only because you don't have my digits. Oh!
You were on a roll today. And you know, that quality of joke is one of the reasons we wanted to have this little intro talk with y'all.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening, by the way.
Yeah, you are listening to Diplomacy Cast episode 28, and Diplomacy Cast is a podcast about diplomacy. The board game Diplomacy.
Right.
I guess I meant to say.
We gotta be honest with you guys, we're a little... I think we're a little overextended.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're going to be perfectly honest, we don't have a real show for you today.
It sucks because, I mean, just like a couple of months ago, we were all like, no, we're going to be doing them more regularly and all this and that. But, you know, like, sometimes life gets in the way and that kind of thing. But,
right.
But it's not all bad news.
Yeah, it's not all bad news. You know, one thing we thought we would do for you is just kind of give you a glimpse into, you know, what it is that's occupying all this time. And, you know, just show you a couple of other things we've been working on.
Yeah. Well, so, I don't know. We don't talk about it enough on this show, at all, but there's a lot of other podcasts that Nathan and I are involved in. And,
yeah. Quite a lot.
Yeah. Quite a few. We've been talking on really all the shows lately about how we want to kind of get them to see if we can kind of tie them into each other a little bit more. And I know this is going to seem cheesy because it seems like, oh, am I just being marketed to all of a sudden? And,
right.
And they said, well, I mean, for one thing, we just got done like marketing the heck out of you to come to WAC and everything.
Right.
And you did that. And so now we're thinking, hey, maybe this could work.
Right. But we promise we won't use words like synergy with you.
Or win-win.
Right.
Nothing
so we thought we'd put together maybe just kind of like a little bit of a clip show. And I know that's the quintessential, hey, don't create new content, just, you know,
way to go, guys, phoning it in.
Right.
No, this is good. This is some stuff that, like, legitimately, if you're interested in this show, you might be interested in a lot of the other stuff that we're working on right now.
And is this something we're going to do very often?
No.
I mean, I just want to make that promise to you right up front.
If you hear something you like here, we'll sort of intro a few clips from some different shows and that kind of thing. If you hear something you like, you know, maybe check it out.
Yeah, or just drop us a line at diplomacycast@gmail.com if you want more information or if you have about anything you hear today. And if you have any questions, obviously, about diplomacy or where we should go next, because, you know, great ideas often spark from... And all sorts of places.
Yeah, definitely. And we are looking to sort of pile up some more emails for the next couple of shows. So that's diplomacycast@gmail.com. You know, also hit us up on the Facebook if you have some subjects you'd like to hear about. We're gonna press on with the sort of alliances segment that we've been doing for the last couple of shows, but it's not happening here, and we wanted to be able to get you guys something.
Right.
So,
Oh, and obviously subscribe to us on iTunes. That helps us out, gives us an idea of who's listening. And anyway, with all that, I hope you enjoy it.
Yep. Okay, this first one, I think you guys, most of you know that we're also really involved in the Risk hobby community, the board game Risk.
Absolutely.
And, so this one is from Riskcast. It was a Power Play segment that we did on Riskcast a while ago.
Yeah, a couple months ago now.
Yeah, a couple months ago in response to some sort of controversial stuff that we've been reading about strategy sort of going around on the internet right now.
Right.
So, it's Power Plays.
Power Plays.
Power Plays.
Power Plays.
Go ahead.
So, Wes, we went ahead and discussed in the intro, there's a new strategy article out on... focusing on South America.
Right.
That I was hoping we could... I'm just going to read it. It's very short. It's a six-point strategy, and I was hoping we could, you know, really talk about it. Because I have some opinions on it.
Kind of break that down. Yeah, so do I. Yeah.
So the six-point strategy is as follows. First, don't play defensively.
Yeah.
You're going to get boxed in and die.
Yeah, that part I agree with. But,
right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number two, don't wait to gain the continent, but... I'm sorry, I'm a little slurry. You don't want to gain the continent but lose the game because you put too much into it. if you can't hold the entire continent early, you want to find yourself in an indefensible position. So surround your foes and take the turns as numbered.
Okay.
Which is, I think we're going to have to break that down because it's a little confusingly worded, but I think I know where he's going with
sure.
it. Number three, grab North American territories during the initial placement. This is key.
Yeah.
Especially if you can get them in Central America.
Sure.
Because, you know, your next position is going to be in North America.
Yeah, and obviously, and plus you're encircling South America, so you can
see exactly.
That. Yeah.
So any territories you grab then, you know, go for it. And honestly, Central America makes a good buffer.
Yeah.
So number four, don't play defensively.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Number five, plan on having gained a second continent before your Australian opponent starts their offensive push.
Sure, and this assumes that, you know, you're playing with kind of some high-level players that know about the alternative to South America being, you know, gaining Australia, because... So for you beginning players out there, that might have been sort of a little bit, wow, there's going to be an Australian opponent, but of course there is. I mean, it's risk.
Right. And number six is don't allow yourself to get trapped and boxed in.
Right. And that's sort of the problem, which, again, is worse for Australia. But
right.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of, as an afterthought, just sums it up as you don't want to play defensively, which I think is a good point.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good point.
Let's not play defensively there. Well, you go first.
Okay, so the thing I like about this strategy is that it focuses on the importance of not getting boxed in and not playing defensively.
That's true.
I think too many players end up getting boxed in and playing defensively.
Yeah.
So making the choice early on to not do that is, I think, very... It's a differentiating point of this strategy.
Particularly if you're the green or black, I think.
Right.
Because that can really, you know... It looks different down there. Mm-hmm. People are just like, I'm going to box him in. He's green,
you know?
And you got to take that into account.
I think it's important to be either playing blue or red if you're going to take this particular approach.
Yeah. I agree. So the other thing, I mean, it's kind of a bit of a tangent, but the thing I wanted to bring up about this that that I really like is that it really does mirror history.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I think part of the genius of Risk, I mean, not to get too fanboy about the whole thing, but like what's so great about Risk is the way that like it's almost like that, you know, they just pick this era in history of world conquerors and they just go, I mean, where'd they come from? Right. South America and Australia.
Always.
Every time.
Every single time.
And the Australian player sort of was compelled to play a little more defensively. And, you know, the Australian leader, the conquerors, the great conquerors from Australia.
Right.
Whereas the South Americans, as they were attacking North America, just because of the, you know, the terrain and the geography, they had to. And I just think that's a really subtle, interesting thing that the game designers kind of incorporated into the game that like you wouldn't notice it the first maybe even 10, 20 times you play the game, but then you're like, wow, this is exactly like how it happened.
Exactly.
Like, that's the sign of a really good game designer.
It's wonderful. And you know, I can't really, I really want to go back to just for a second, which I think it's implied with this sort of an advanced strategy.
Sure.
But just some fundamentals for our for people that are listening is you want to make sure to focus on your first turn.
Yeah.
Because that's really key to the entire
really
game.
With any strategy, but you know, in South America, just that's what we're talking about for this one.
So, So you want to place those pieces within the South American continent or if you can't get it all in South America, put something into Central America and then really focus on your die rolls afterwards.
That's true.
Because that really makes or breaks it.
I mean, that's going to be what, you know, that you don't really have control over what happens after that. Cause you know, dice rolling is, you know, you just, when you need a six, you got to get a six, right?
Right.
I mean, it's sort of the name of the game.
And we have a whole other episode on how to roll the dice and how to get the results you want.
Yeah.
That was, I think, episode...
Always roll more, it's called. Episode 11.
11.
Yeah, that's always
roll more. I was going to say 14 for some reason.
It's 11.
So that's I don't know. If you guys have some opinions on the South American thing, just drop us a line. This is really kind of trending. It's kind of hot right now.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people are talking about it. Right. Let's say, and also how that affects the when you eventually go for and fail at Asia.
Right.
That's another sort of key point. Like, I mean, once you've done, like, how do you get to the point where you're trying to win Asia and you don't do it like starting from South America. That's like a whole other show.
Yeah, it's right, it's a whole other segment. Do you go through Europe? Do you go through Siberia?
It's riskcast@gmail.com.
Right. Drop us a line and we'll read all your comments next week. As usual, we'll have to cap it at 50 emails.
Yeah.
Most of those we don't have time to read, but yeah. I assure you on the air, I assure you we read them all, and can't thank you enough.
Yep.
Battleship Cast.
Yeah, which we haven't talked about as much in the past, so right. Some of you might not know we have Battleship Cast also.
And, you know, this particular clip is from, this is also strategy. Based had to do with the personality types of battleship players.
Yeah, so you know, like sometimes, it's kind of like on this show actually. Yeah. On Diplomacy Cast, sometimes we'll do some sort of more hard tactics and strategy stuff, and then sometimes we kind of try and
we try and
branch into sort of the human elements of it. And this was a clip and also from Power Plays, on Battleship Cast, where we talk about more of the human element of it. So,
because getting into your head of your opponent is really kind of key, especially in a game.
You'll hear. Without further ado.
Yeah.
Power plays.
So. What we wanted to focus on today, as we said in the intro, was we wanted to talk a little more about some different battleship personalities.
Just call them personalities, I think is the right way to say it.
We've kind of categorized sort of four key personality types of people that you might be playing against because, you know, there's the tactics of battleship, there's the grand strategy of battleship, and then there's the human element.
The people. And this is, you know, you're going to find a lot of these. No one is strictly in these categories. These are broad brushstrokes to try and just, you're going to find that players often fall predominantly into one of these categories. They flex out of it a little bit, but if you know these types, you're going to be able to react when you see it.
And we were also thinking, like, it's a fun game that you can play at home, you know, while you're listening to this, that you can kind of try and figure out which battleship tournament players we're talking about.
Right.
Because, you know, there's some definite people we had in mind. We're not going to name any names.
Not going to name any names or anything, but there's definitely some people that we have in mind. So the first one, we don't really have an elegant name for. I'm going to call him Edge Guy.
Sure.
Line Guy.
Yeah. And I think you can already guess based on the name.
Right.
Like what we're talking about.
And we've all played these guys.
Sure.
So these are the players that line up their cruisers, their battleships, their patrol ships, all along the edge of the map.
Mm-hmm.
Or, slight variant, they'll just pick like a letter, like let's say J or F. And they'll just take that whole F, line them straight across, which makes it really, you know, it's a challenging thing.
You don't know when you've sunk anything,
right?
You know, but I mean, that's sort of the weakness of this guy too. Is that once you kind of find his line,
and he's doomed.
Yeah, you just start working down it, but man, it can be really frustrating in the early game,
right?
Playing against that guy,
and that's why you want to know, why you want to identify this guy early,
exactly,
so that you can, you know, find that line and just start trucking along,
exactly. So, you know, Edge Guy, you know, he'll do well, but against a really elite player who's, like, really considering the competition, Edge Guy can get himself in a lot of trouble because once you found his edge...
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have an edge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The edge on his edge.
Right.
So, you know, the best way is, you know, you can tell this early on just by the way that they're setting up their boats. You can hear them set them up the ships. And you know, they tend to have... I don't know if this is true in your experience, but I find that they spend a lot of time looking at their board and not making a lot of eye contact.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because they're very pleased with the way, the symmetry of what they put together.
All around the edges, they're thinking to themselves.
I never really
thought of that, but I think unconsciously I've sort of been kind of catching those people by that. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, this is something I was wondering about, and we're going to talk about this with all of these types, but... You know, the way that they're calling, do you find there's a, I mean, cause from other ones, I definitely have an opinion that they call a certain way, you know, when they get out there,
oh,
you know,
they're shooting, you mean?
Yeah. When they're B4 or whatever it is, you know, they tend to have a pattern with it, sure, that suggests, and I don't have one for edge guy or line guy. I was wondering if you had seen.
I mean, the only thing sometimes that they will do is they'll try an edge early,
right?
You know, they'll try, or a line early. If they go J4, then they go J5.
Right.
Then they're thinking you might be. And so it's just one of the, right. I mean, so a lot of them are smart for that. You can't count on that. But like a sort of a beginner edge guy might kind of do it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. They just would go right down a line.
Yeah.
Assuming you did the same thing.
Well, or at least trying to sniff it out. Or sure. Yeah. Sure. Exactly.
All right. So why don't you tell us about the next one?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this one is, I mean, I have a lot of trouble with this one. And so I kind of was thinking, the clusterer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, I know exactly where this is.
It's just miles and miles of open ocean and futility and shooting, but there's just a big block of them in the middle, and it's just sort of this structure. It's like the Borg, man, and you see, like, you can't find them. Like, and then it's there, and once you find them, you're okay if you know you're against a clusterer.
Right.
But what if you don't?
Right, if you get an early hit, you might not assume that every single other ship is, you know.
You might try and sink that ship, spend a lot of the game confused. It's almost the flip side of Edge Guy.
Yeah. Like, oh, I see that.
They sort of have a secret. They have once you've found their weakness, and you figured out that's who it is, you can kind of pick on them. But man, it's so frustrating playing against them because you're just F10. J5, B2, like nothing just, all day long unless you get lucky, you know.
Very frustrating. Yeah. All those white pegs just keep adding up.
Yeah. I've actually tried playing that way just because I find other people who play that way so frustrating.
I'm taking a mental note here.
Yeah, no, I don't do it anymore. It's not even fun. It's just like, ha ha ha, I got you with my cluster strategy. And I don't know, but there's a lot of people who do it, and you know, like in the top tiers of Battleship, and you kind of just got to look out for it.
The last one I want to talk about is sort of, for lack of a better word, sort of the shapeshifter.
Yeah.
This is someone that, that they tend to make designs out of their placements.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether or not it's a plus sign or I have to say, just a quick war story, had a guy try and make a heart shape. Which was incredibly frustrating since there was a diagonal placement.
Yeah, right, which is cheating, but people do it all the time.
They do it all the time.
Put the carrier straight across, like, you have to sort of, I mean, like, look where the pegs are.
Exactly.
It's
such a rookie move, but every once in a while you'll get someone who does it. I would say this is often a newbie strategy. I see it a lot there.
Yeah.
But really difficult to really counteract, and really difficult to sniff out.
It is.
Because it's somewhere between edge, somewhere between cluster.
And it's sort of like playing against, like, just a sort of a random arrayer, which is something we're not talking about here.
Yeah.
Sort of the default, you know, kind of thing. But like, you think it's random, but it's not. And
which just throws your whole strategy off.
So it's like you have to play two games at once. Like, you have to sink their destroyer, but you also have to figure out, like, what the shape is. And
I will say, and this is, you know, I mean, not to be too punny, but it is pretty satisfying to sink the guy's heart. I know, a little bit soft.
Just look straight across the table at him and just be like, you're doing a heart, aren't you?
I sunk your heart.
Gotcha. Yeah, and then just sink the whole thing. That's true.
No, it's good. It's really good. It was so satisfying, especially since they were freaking cheating to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So we got to wrap this up, but... But so that's just a few.
Just a few. We'll have some more later, and then
This is going to be a two-parter because there's another episode coming next week.
Right. So stay tuned. Our next segment is going to be on emails.
Oh yeah, coming up next, hot off the ocean.
God, you know, that reminds me. I really hate Edge Guy. It sucks.
Battleship.
Yeah, man.
Fun game.
Yeah, really endlessly. Endlessly. Yeah. Oh, man. So, I can't even tell you how many hours I've blown on that thing.
Yeah. We've got a really good contest running. I'm not going to tell you the specifics, but on Battleship Cast right now.
Oh, yeah. So you should check it out. Yeah. The latest episode is one for. Latest episode.
Right, yeah.
The one that's up there now.
Yeah. Let's see. We're going to move on.
This is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm really, this is the My Little Pony podcast that we do.
Yeah, we're involved in a lot of My Little Pony LARPing, so that's live action role playing if you're not interested in that.
Yes, the whole friendship is the friendship is magic.
It is
Pony. Yeah. Not the really old 80s stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If the last time you checked in on this stuff was in the 80s, there's been a lot of innovation.
Oh my god, it's so much better now.
Yeah. This is something we actually were kind of both pretty jazzed about this. We went to a tournament a couple of months ago and recapped the whole thing.
Yeah, it was great.
Into worlds of My Little Pony.
Right.
LARP. And so this is something from the circuit.
Right.
Segment of the My Little Pony cast.
And this is just going to kind of, just because it was really, really long, this is going to kind of come in the middle, and we're going to cut out pretty soon, but this is like one of our better parts.
Yep.
The friendship is magic.
So, yeah, it was a pretty rough round one for me.
Early
elimination, but it was fine.
But the best thing about that being done is we can talk about round two.
Yeah.
This was our favorite all weekend.
Yeah. We've been looking forward to talking about this one, because wow.
And it was the only one that both Eric and I were on the same meadow for.
Yep.
And I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
what pony were we?
I was Twilight Sparkle.
All right, so I took Blueberry Cloud.
Okay, so, I mean, already we're like, oh, man, wow. Like, how are people, because we do this whole show and everything.
Right, it's
like
such a natural, such a natural team up.
Friendship.
And here's the thing that I was so excited about, is like, not only were Eric and I in the same meadow, but Buffalo was there as well.
Yeah.
Who was Buffalo playing? I just remember him being
there. Prism Glider.
Was Prism Glider. Yeah, that's
Prism
right.
Glider. Oh my God, we're looking at this and we're like, what is going on this?
I couldn't even believe it. It's like, it was the weirdest draw ever.
I know. We're just like, okay, I mean, I'm Twilight Sparkle, but Prism Glider over there. And then Nathan, our podcast guy, is Blueberry Cloud. And so this is already going to be weird because we're not really sure how to, how to do this. I mean, we want to be friends.
Right.
This is even
before we saddle up. I mean, this is like the draw has been done and
Right, and they're calling out the meadows and everybody's going to their different meadows and everyone in the room was like, oh wow, man. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
I still can't believe it.
Yeah, no, I mean, we didn't even mention that Jake Mannix was Grape Soda on that.
It's because he was sort of irrelevant to the game, but
he was kind of on the other side. He had a pretty bad hangover, and, he didn't place. But, I mean, at the time, that seemed like a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Grape Soda, oh, geez. But then he just kind of, I don't know, he kind of fell apart. He was eliminated
early. He just got trampled.
Yeah, he did.
Anyway.
So there we are. So I'm Twilight Sparkle, you're Blueberry Cloud, and...
So I go to Eric. I want to team up. I want to get a team together.
And of course we do.
Right. I mean, it's part of it. When everyone expects you to get together.
Well, but I mean, the other thing is you're always friends in this game because that's sort of the point. It's
I know.
Pony, but the point is just how quick and exactly how are we going to approach the situation and everything. So.
Right. So anyway, I mean, there's a lot of subtleties of this game, as you guys all know.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to talk about all the nuances you need to do in order in that first approach, in that friend making phase of the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's the eye contact and the
water. Yeah,
yeah, everything that you need to do to get there first, but not tip your hand too early.
Yeah, exactly. About who's going to be your best friend,
right?
Basically. So I don't know. Honestly, just with the situation and with Jake is Grape Soda and everything else, I kind of wanted to be Nathan's best friend early because
Well, I was really concerned that you were going to be torn, even though the Grape Soda thing. It's obviously the wrong move, but you and Jake are such good friends outside of it. And then Buffalo thing,
Right, that kind of made the whole thing weird.
I thought you were going to hesitate, I got to say. So I didn't want to overly commit.
He had some pretty good friendship overtures.
I know.
We made a lot of eye contact, and we looked at each other a lot and that kind of thing. There was a little touch and go there for a minute. But, Mark's Awful was Barry Shine.
That's true.
Yeah, and on that.
Well, because he and Jake tried to do like a Barry Shine grape soda thing, which was honestly, I feel like they just did just for the sheer ridiculousness of it.
Well, they do. I mean, they like to do sort of those weird openings and that kind of thing, but
it's ludicrous.
But the thing about Mark is like, I knew he wasn't serious about being my best friend. Like he said he wanted to be my best friend and had this whole thing where we were gonna dance through the meadow, like he always wants to do. And then at some point he's just like, oh look, it's grape soda over there. And then my whole day is ruined.
Yeah,
basically,
exactly.
When he does that. So I wasn't hearing any of this. So I don't know. You had some interesting early negotiations with the guy who was playing Thunder Lane. I can't remember his name.
Oh, it was like Philip Glass or... No, Philip Glass is a guy. No, a composer. Philip Knight, something like that.
I don't know what his name is. Yeah, I remember the guy. Anyway, that's Canadian
he's,
dude.
Yeah, he's kind of bald.
Yeah. Exactly. Thunder Lane. Yeah. Anyway, so you had sort of like a weird thing going on where...
Right, and I tried to create a situation in which I could be best friends with at least two or three other people, which is a common strategy.
Sure.
I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't breaking any new ground.
No.
But, it was the reason I'm so excited about it is a really interesting meadow. Like, I haven't seen a meadow like that in a long time. Because, honestly, people pair up really early, and it's not much of a game. And there was just a lot of... Because people knew each other outside the meadow, there was a lot more...
People were just walking by this meadow and just looking at it and just being like, wow, there is going to be a rainbow on this.
Yeah.
By 11 tonight, there's probably going to be a rainbow.
And there, you know what? I think we should just ruin it. We're kind of dancing around the point. Eric and I absolutely dominated that meadow. Yeah. Rainbowed it.
We did.
Rainbowed it.
Yeah.
And it was, I think we both got rainbow points.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did. Rainbow. So that was really kind of a highlight of the whole thing.
Because we didn't end up, I didn't top. I mean, like, that was just, that was it. That was the highlight.
No, we didn't even make the best friend's best meadow.
Yeah.
At the end. But, I mean, it was like the one... solid game that we had.
Right, and it was like second round, so we're feeling really great going into third and fourth, and got...
Well, but, it's better than I've done in a while, because, nobody likes us anymore since we made
this show. I know, isn't that ridiculous?
So nobody wants to be our friend, and they know all of our friendship secrets, it was really cool. I feel like we should... One more thing we should say is Buffalo really didn't deserve, like, what happened at the end of that, because...
Well, he really got shut out.
He did.
In nature of the game, somebody isn't best friends with somebody else.
Yeah.
That's
the
reason there's an odd number of players in the
meadow. He played good, and it wasn't fair, and I probably should have done it differently. I mean, it worked out okay for me, but I still probably should have done something differently there.
That player who played Thunder Lane.
Yeah.
I mean,
Thunder Lane, it's always the weakest player,
it's
right?
It's always the weakest player, and, Thunder Lane really came in there and just ran him over, trampled him.
He did.
Hoof to the face.
Kind of lost his temper a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not good. And, I think Buffalo as Prison Glider wasn't his best game.
No,
I think
it wasn't, but it just, I don't know, it left sort of a bad taste in my mouth, because you're all supposed to be best friends in this game.
I know.
It's just, I don't know. Anyway, he ended up doing better in the tournament than the rest of us.
What's the big deal? You just have those bad games.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, so let's move on to the third round.
Yep.
Oh man, such a good game!
Yeah, it really is. That was intense.
I gotta be serious. That was one of the best. Best medals I've ever played on.
We're still pretty jacked from this tournament.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, who knows what's gonna happen with the hobby next?
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
Like there's a lot of stuff up in the air about who's gonna host what after that last.
But
one.
We always have a lot of updates on that cast.
Yeah, My Little Pony Cast.
My Little Pony Cast.
Yeah, so that's My Little Pony Cast @gmail.com.
Right. So this next one.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. This is our one on antiquing.
Oh, yeah, which is a passion of both of ours.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a lot of overlap between diplomacy players and antiquers.
Yeah, absolutely. We wouldn't do the show if not. I mean, it's just such a natural segue.
Yeah.
So, antiquing cast, we've been doing for a couple years now.
Yeah.
This is, what's the segment?
Well, we get a lot of email on Antiquecast, and so we just wanted to give you one example of hot off the shelf that we do on that show. It's just, I don't know. It was an interesting email we got. I don't know if this is like necessarily the thing.
I thought there was a lot of. I thought it tied in a little bit.
It did. It did. It's just sort of a good sample. After this,
hot off the press.
Hot off the press.
Yeah, there's people don't use the press anymore.
Drop it like it's hot.
Oh, so if we just dropped it like it was hot.
If we just dropped it like it was hot, you can do better than that.
Drop it like it's hot.
Off the press.
I'm not saying that. All right, so this this email here is from Stephen Donaldson. He writes us in from Chappaquiddick. And here, I'm just going to read it out to you. Hey, guys, love the show.
Thanks. That's why we really read this.
Honestly, every time, honestly, if you want to get on the show, just say, love the show.
Works every time.
love the show. Listen every week. I have just a quick question for you. Do you have any good strategies for entering a new or exploring a new seaside town?
Right.
And do those strategies change, and this is the kicker, if you have your life partner with you?
Yeah, so it's a great question.
This is a great question.
Yeah. So, because it's something that comes up all the time.
Yeah. So
I wish some people on our other shows would write questions that succinct and interesting.
Boom, right?
There's a conversation topic right there. No big story to go with it. No nothing.
Nothing. Just like
sorry,
boom.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Right. So I mean, the way I'm hopefully we can approach this is I'm going to tell you the normal strategy.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to tell you the strategy with a life partner.
Okay.
Just kind of that's just the way I think we should approach this. So the first thing you want to do when you get to that seaside town, wherever it is, presumably it's at a seaside, is identify the shops. There may be a lot of them. There could be only one or two of them. But the key is to get sort of a map, knowing where everything's at. So look for things that have signs that say antiques.
Yeah.
Excellent. First start. That's the easy one, really. Look for anything that says maybe knickknacks or
It doesn't always have to say antiques.
Right,
stuff is a good one. Actually,
junk you see a lot, which throws a lot of people off.
Or even garage sales, obviously.
Right,
also.
Exactly.
So
you want to do a quick drive through. Most seaside towns are pretty small. You want to do a quick drive through. If there's no sign, look for places that have a lot of interesting objects in either front yard or in the windows.
Yeah. And one thing I want to emphasize here, sorry to derail you,
go on.
I just, a lot of people are afraid to have a map when they come into a new town because they think it makes them look like rookies.
Right.
And honestly, yeah, it kind of does. But the advantage that you get from having a map is, when you're just off on your own, I've got a map. I know what's going on here. So don't be afraid to use a map.
Honestly. And honestly, if you don't have a map, people can take advantage of you.
That's true.
They're going places that you don't necessarily
know where the things are.
Right.
They can mislead you. They can just be like, oh, yeah, there's an antique store right down there. And then next thing you know.
It's if you don't know, if it's a new place, you don't know your way around, have a map.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds dumb, but honestly, get that map. So the other thing you want to do after you, that's the thing you do if you're by yourself.
Yeah.
If you're with a partner, it's almost identical, except I can't stress this enough. Absolutely have a map because you're not going to, because it saves you so much time.
So much stress too.
Like as a team, you do not have time.
They might be thinking it's one way. You might be thinking it's another way. It's just like, it's such a waste.
A neutral arbiter right there. Like, oh, nope. Here it is. You're right. I'm right. Yep. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You really, cause you don't have a lot of time.
Yep.
You're always on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
These places often close pretty early. You're going to need to get in and get out and get to the next thing unless you're going to spend a week at the seaside town. And we know on Deacon Cast, you're trying to hit 3 or 4 of these a day.
Exactly.
So it's all about volume. It's all about getting in, getting out, and getting what you're looking for.
So I feel like ever since we decided to always be drinking wine when we do Deacon Cast, we've been rambling a little bit here.
Yeah, sure,
so
sure.
Sorry about that. But point being, there's a couple of other key points that I want to get
to. Oh, of course. Go on.
Negotiate hard. I mean, it almost goes without saying, but like, I feel like it's especially important if you've never been to the seaside town before,
Oh, yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of people there that, you know, they're used to the place. They've been there before. They kind of all know each other.
Well, yeah, they already the guy has a relationship with people in the shop, probably.
Buyers and sellers. Exactly. You know, they know each other, and they've kind of probably got a little thing going on. And, you know, it's... I wish it were otherwise. I wish it was a kind of a different kind of hobby, but it is what it is. Like sometimes if you have a history with somebody, you're a little more comfortable antiquing against them or antiquing with them or, you know, dealing with a shop owner or something like that. And so when you're in a new town, you really got to bring it.
Yeah. You know, no, and it's incumbent on you. No one else can do this. You have to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's going to do you any favors. Nobody's going to help you out. And so, I mean, if you see a thing you want, you find the shop, you see the thing you want, you think that someone else wants it too, don't be afraid to go up in price, go down, you know, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Absolutely, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
You know, other things to keep in mind, you know, always ask for a deal.
I mean, sure.
There's not, you know, those prices are absolutely arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
Always ask for a deal. Don't be afraid to do it. And as Eric said, you know, if you need to go up in price, you need to.
I mean, I think you all know, like, they don't set the prices based on the value of the thing. They set the prices on how they think the antiquer, I mean, how rich they think the antiquers are.
Basically. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, you know that, but...
ask for what's behind the counter, because...
A lot of times,
especially seaside towns. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
Well, I know what it is.
Enlighten me.
When you live in a seaside town, you don't want to spend all your time in an antique shop, like, restoring an antique. Like, you want to get the hell out of there as often as you can.
Oh, I see.
So there's a lot more likely to be, like, unfinished things or things they're not quite ready to sell yet. They just haven't gotten around to putting a price on it.
Yeah, you know, so just those unpolished treasures.
Because, I mean, screw this. I'm going to go eat fish and chips. I'm going to go, you know, walk on the beach, ride a horse, whatever, you know. So it totally makes sense. I mean, much more so, like, if you're in Eastern Washington, you know, to take a local example or something, like, what is there to do there? What are you going to go play mini golf or something?
Sure.
No, you're going to sit there and you're going to finish your damn antique. But there's stuff to do. There's fun stuff. So that's... They're going to have
I'm going to say I learned something today.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
That's nice. That's good. I hadn't really thought about it, but I had. But I mean, I obviously have been doing this for years, and the reality is there's always great stuff behind the counter.
Definitely.
So I think the we touched on this earlier, but I really want. I don't think we can stress this enough, because the most mm-hmm. important aspect is the relationships that people already have in those seaside towns.
Right.
And
you have to get past it.
So. You have to get past it, and it becomes tricky when your life partner is there.
It really does, because they might be, you know, they might be targeting one person,
mm-hmm.
you might be targeting another, and so you kind of have to have an agreement between yourselves before you even figure
it out. Right. I mean, hopefully your partner is an antiquer.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it way easier, because then you can do a divide and conquer strategy, which is that sort of strategy just steamrolls. Like, it just rolls the shop.
It does.
Really hard for people to defend against that.
Yeah, yeah. And on the flip side of that, if they're not, man, you're in for a rough day.
Yeah. No, you're in for a rough day, because there's just so much out there,
mm-hmm.
Those seaside towns, just to kind of dig into and get. So I hope that helps, Mr. Donaldson from... Chappaquiddick.
Yep.
One more email. This one's from Larry Peary.
Yeah.
And Larry Peary writes in.
Long-time listener.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
He writes, "Hey guys, love the show as always. Fantastic to hear your latest episode. Thanks so much, Larry. Yeah, I know.
Thanks, Larry.
He just mentions, thanks so much for
that. Did see it, that diplomacy thing.
Yeah, that was recently. Weird,
that
right?
Was cool. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like he's been absent from that thing for so long.
I'm such a fan of Antique Cast.
Right,
all
I know.
Long, but...
I think it was Antique Cast, because we kind of mentioned that other thing we do that got him to go.
It's true. It's true.
Anyway, he goes on, "Thanks for that episode around Spanish bullion. Really got a lot out of it. I just wanted to let you know I had a couple of ideas. First, I want to let you know about this story. When I was younger, I spent a lot of time in a barn in upstate New York. And in that time, I uncovered a number of feral cats that I befriended. And I have named based on the periodic elements. Specifically all of the noble gases.
Mm.
And in that way, I really wanted to convey to the show that if you can put together a figurine set of cats, I know some excellent names for cats."
Oh,
and that really is what I wanted to convey. Thanks so much for doing all that you do. We'll talk to you soon. Love, Larry.
We'll consider doing that. Yeah, definitely. It's
so a great idea. We read this.
I don't really.
I have to be honest. I have to be honest. Eric didn't know I was going to read that.
Yeah.
So, but I read it and I thought it was the best thing I've ever read.
I have no real. I mean,
honestly, the reason I wanted to do it is like because I want to pose this question to Eric. What's he asking?
I don't think there was a question.
There's cats in a barn in upstate New York. You've been to New York. Is he asking for a figurine episode? Because we could do that. Yeah. But I thought we already kind of touched on it earlier.
Yeah, we did.
But it wasn't specific to cats.
16 and 17 were all about figurines, Larry. So if
it wasn't specific to cats.
It's a good idea. Maybe we need to.
There's a lot of cat figurines out there.
Boy. All right. Well,
but I do think it's a bit of a rehash.
Well, thanks for the email, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it. All right.
Yeah.
That really takes me back.
Antique and Cast. Yeah,
I really enjoy. That was one of enjoyed that email.
So
sorry for sort of like bouncing that one on you.
No, that was pretty. That was actually a really funny moment in the show. I mean, that show is loaded with hilarious moments.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, if you like that, check us out.
Yeah,
what's the email?
It is antiquingcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Or subscribe to it on iTunes.
Yes, please.
Okay. There's a lot of, I feel like another thing other than antiquing that a lot of diplomacy players like that's, you know, not gaming related.
Right.
Is radical right-wing politics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously.
And there's a lot of people that are interested in that. And we do a show about that, too.
Of course, because we're super into it.
Probably not everybody knew about that one on account of it's a little hard to find.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
got a really long URL, for one thing.
I'm not actually going to tell you what it is there, but I think probably if you know the right people, you...
Yeah, and you can also, I guess, email us and we'll send you it privately.
RadicalRightWingPoliticsCast@gmail.com.
Yes.
This is from a segment we did on there a while ago, Table Talk.
Yeah, Table Talk.
A segment we called it, where we just define terms, that kind of thing.
There's a lot of people out there that don't know stuff, so.
Yeah, a few things you might want to know about radical right-wing politics, which is, you know, again, something we're really interested in. So, anyway, check it out.
Yeah,
here you go.
Table Talk!
Table Talk.
All right, so the next term that I think, you know, we keep using this all the time, and I realize that we don't actually be able to find it, and I have gotten a couple of, outside of this, a couple of questions from people as to what the hell a bug out bag is.
Yeah, right. And
which is, I kind of feel like, how are you in this and you don't know it?
I know, right? Exactly. And why are, like, seriously, like, you're to the point where you're making anonymous threats against this, but not to the point where you know what a bug out bag is.
I know.
But, sort of, but you know, apparently maybe it's more of a regional thing.
I don't know. So a bug out bag, just so we're all talking the same language, we're on the same page, that's just a term for the bag that we all have in our house, in various sizes. Mine's a backpack. Some people have like a, you know, something smaller, something larger, and that's where all your gear is. So whatever, right. Moment's notice when it hits the fan, because we all know it's going to hit the fan, it's coming soon. Everything is in that bag. You grab it, you go, and you're going to safety. You're going to the mountains. So all your stuff.
Just look at what's happening in Europe right now.
Oh, absolutely! Are you kidding? It's practically
you Ukraine's and the Crimea's and the
that whole space right there, right next to France that's going on right now.
Right.
It's nuts, and so, it's just like it's telegraphing what's going to happen in this country.
Within
the next year.
What, you don't think there's any black helicopters flying over there right now? Or?
Seriously.
All right, but
bug out bag.
Sorry, yeah, bug out bag.
So
yeah.
Make sure you. I mean you. I know all you guys out there that are listening right now, you already have this. You just might be calling it something like your safety bag or your emergency kit or whatever you're calling it.
Sure. For like if there's an emergency, like, you know, if all of a sudden there's like federal troops at your door.
Right.
Or something like
or
that.
Or they've come in to take all repossess all your firearms.
Yeah.
Because that's maybe next week.
It's actually, it might. I mean, it hasn't actually already happened. I was going to say it has, but if I'm being fair. But
I mean, I don't. I think you're very generous because it's happening right now. I mean, they're not knocking on your door.
Happening to people we know.
Right.
We get anonymous emails pretty often at radical right-wing conspiracy cast at gmail.com. I want to say this.
Well, that's what it is. It's just...
Oh, that's right. No, you guys don't really know the actual... Yeah.
That's what we're just... We'd like to use that term.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I mean,
you know what we're saying, guys. So, you know what we're saying.
The thing I'm listening to this Europe, podcast, I feel right? like it's really important.
You want to focus on Europe, right?
Yeah. Well, or bug out bags.
Well, no. I think here I'm going to blow your mind.
Okay.
You know who needs a bug out bag? Crimea.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they had 250 million of those or something like that.
Well, they, you know, like, for, you know, over, it's, come on, I'm not being literate. I'm not being literal, but you know what? Yeah. Like, proverbially speaking, yeah. like if you're using the analogous
yeah.
Talking, mm-hmm. you if they had put together the sort of the equipment that you put in a bug out bag,
yeah, that's true.
You know, and you obviously would have it on a much larger scale.
That's true.
In the Ukraine, but I mean, like, you know, they would have those tools. They don't have those tools, and that's why they're screwed right now.
And that's why, I mean, that's why the birth certificate thing isn't more of an issue there right now.
Absolutely.
If you had a bug out bag, you wouldn't have to worry so much about the, you know, the birth certificate.
Because, again, well, it's all about the birth certificates, because right. it's all about, are you Crimean, are you Ukrainian, are you Kenyan. Russian, are you Yugoslavian, Kenyan. Obviously Kenyan, but I don't even have to say Kenyan.
Just saying.
I know, like, mm-hmm. I, you know, you're bringing that comprehensive thing to the table, but, mm-hmm. you know, everyone knows Kenyan.
Yeah, well, do you want to talk about comprehensive, or do you want to talk about comprehensive? Because there's the healthcare thing also that we could be talking about, right?
I think it's kind of a segue. Ukraine did not have...
There's my sort rights of, to consider, right?
Well, right, but it's not, they don't have that sort of Stalinish, like, no, healthcare thing. No.
That's exactly right. In the Crimea, everybody buys their insurance on the private marketplace.
Right. Well, they used to.
Or they did until Mr. Putin. Morocco Putin came along. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay. So in a bug out bag,
right,
you're going to have what? Like 10 items. Maybe.
Well, you know, I don't want to go as far as say the 10 essentials. It really varies from person to person.
It's up to you.
You're definitely going to need weapons.
Yeah.
I would say number one.
Sure.
Some handgun, some knife, mm-hmm. some bigger knife,
mm-hmm.
A rifle.
Yeah.
A backup handgun.
Those are good.
Obviously ammo for all of those things.
So then metal detector, probably not.
Probably not. You don't need a metal detector.
I mean, you could, but it's, I mean, really, like, look at your bug out bag.
Sure.
Before you decide on them.
And a lot of people think that they should put money in their bug out bag, mm-hmm. but honestly, for me, I just put more ammo in.
That's good. No, that's
right?
good.
Because
that's good.
I can just get money from somebody else.
If you're going to put money, a little bit of gold.
Oh, sure.
Probably sure. okay. But honestly, yeah, no, you really do have to weigh. Is it gold? Is it ammo?
Honestly, the people put paper money in these bug out bags, and it's sort of like, what's the point?
I mean,
what's the point? You might as well.
In the concept.
Honestly, yeah. It's more get some toilet paper. Have yeah. that in there.
Right.
Have some Charmin Comfort
Actually,
for a little
paper
while.
Is a good idea in a bug out bag.
No, it is a good like, idea, but don't trade paper money.
Consider
right, just
your butt.
You know,
I mean,
exactly.
If you've got toilet paper anywhere. Why sure. not go Charmin?
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're not sponsored by Charmin.
No,
I
no,
get that
no.
all the time. Just,
we're fans.
Just, I mean,
that's all.
You know.
Anyway,
I don't want to go too long. Yeah, so that's the term this week I really wanted to define.
Yeah, I mean, there may be, like, we had some others on our list, but actually there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about in the Power Play segment.
Okay.
You know, there's that Power Play that happened last week.
Absolutely, and then there's this whole missing flight, Malaysian yeah. flight, whatever's yeah. going on with that, yeah, which is clearly not an accident.
I think we know that if the private sector was running the airlines,
absolutely,
in
this
Malaysia,
would happen. Well,
like would happen.
I doubt. I mean, and while I agree with you, Eric, I do have to say this is clearly this never in history has this happened before. This is a conspiracy. This is a cover up.
That's correct. That's
yeah,
correct.
So lots to talk about there.
And true, like, honestly, why are you even flying to Malaysia if you're American? Right?
right.
Okay. So
anyway,
I probably don't have a bug out bag in their checked luggage.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, so, all right, we're going to get up to our place. Well, I mean, I think that was really helpful to people.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff to know there.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
important.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
stuff.
Incredibly important. So,
yeah.
Honestly, drop us a line.
Yeah.
So this next one.
Mm.
It really doesn't need a lot of introduction.
Well, it's one of our daily shows. A lot of people don't know that we do one, and not the Daily Show, but like our daily shows.
It's almost as popular as the Daily Show.
We make a podcast every day about The Price is Right. Price is Right guest, it's called.
Right. And it's, I don't know, I think it's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, we sort of recap. Well, I should say five a week, just like Price is Right.
And well, obviously.
Yeah, we don't do it on weekends, but... which is good because
I know
we're busy. And we kind of just try and let you know what's going on. Price is Right community, Price is Right.
And honestly, it's a huge community. Yeah. And I don't know. I think it's one of our most popular.
It is. Yeah.
But if you're interested in that, you should definitely subscribe on iTunes because it's, I think, the number one podcast for Price is Right.
So I don't know. We didn't really know what segment to pick, so we kind of just. Gave you kind of like an intro so you could kind of just hear the kind of stuff that we do.
Yeah.
And yeah, well,
right, here it is.
Power of our diplomacy. Diplomacy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really big deal.
The strength of our diplomacy.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
It does sound
so
fun.
One deadline.
Today, it's episode 961 today of Price is Right Cast. My name is Eric Mead. This is Nathan Barnes.
I'm Nathan Barnes.
Hey.
Hey.
So we're going to recap today's episode of Price is Right. Just finished. And so we're here.
Yeah, here we are. Right
we always do. Yeah.
This week, a lot of great stuff happened. It was an exciting episode. Although
really good, strong. It's Thursday today. And so... a lot of stuff to talk about the week that we didn't get to in the previous shows. And also we're going to look forward to the Friday show.
Absolutely. But, a lot of great contestants, but I do have to say once again, Drew Carey phoned it in.
Yeah, he did.
I know I harp on this every week and I don't want to make it just sort of like a thing I do every week, but you know, I miss Bob.
Yeah.
I miss him so much.
Yeah.
Because Drew just does not have the charisma.
We talked about it yesterday. I mean, like, who really, really wants to kiss Drew, right?
Nobody.
Well, so we're going to get into that a little bit, on this show, in our Power Play segment.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to talk about the yodeling game.
Yeah, the yodeling game. Which I love when they play.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite games.
They played that today, and there was I saw actually like a really fundamental mistake that the contestant made.
Oh yeah,
Ginny.
I thought it was Janine. Okay,
sorry,
good.
Should we do this over? Nah, let's just go with it. It's fine. It's fine. this show's already just tanked. Whatever.
You know what?
You're right.
Stop it. Focus up. It was a great show. Drew did not bring it. He never asked me to spay or neuter my pet.
No.
Like Bob used to do.
Not once.
Not even one time. But the yodeling game, which I have not seen in a really long time. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to have a guest today.
Yep.
Who was a contestant just 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get him right afterwards. The contact information.
Dave?
It was Dave, yeah.
Dave, yeah.
And Dave has a lot of great things. Like his ability to guess that washer and dryer.
That was outstanding.
It really was.
And so we would try and bring you like the really elite voices.
Right. And what it's like to really be in that moment and bid on wash and dryer is what it was, but it could be any sort of thing.
Yeah.
And just using what other people bid, that's going to be our guest today. So, really great
show.
Plus,
we have some Price is Right Cast emails. And as you know, Price is Right at Gmail, Price is Right Cast at gmail.com. Wow.
Wow.
Ugh, been doing too much of this.
Yeah, you know, 900 episodes, you kind of get a little...
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. But guys, we really appreciate you being here. We got a great show for you. Keep on listening.
Yep, after this. Oof. Boy.
Yeah. Can't believe we've done... Well, that was 961. Where are we at now? Like
10-something.
10-something. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I really love that show.
Yeah, glad you enjoyed that.
Yeah, no idea.
What do you want to talk about next?
You know, there's one... there's one thing that we haven't really talked about. That's a little bit of a tangent.
Yeah.
It's the lifestyle one that we do. We do that one lifestyle one.
Yeah.
So, polygamy cast.
Yeah. Polygamy cast.
Which is
something we're both interested in.
Yeah.
Some kind of, you know, wife swapping and that kind of thing that we do. And actually having multiple wives is something we're also interested in.
Yeah.
And we focus a lot on that.
All right. And I think this one is more of a, it's more of an outreach.
Yeah.
That's the segment I picked from it's a couple episodes back, but
it's a really good conversation we had about just sort of, you know, basically building the hobby. Polygamycast.com.
Yep.
Polygamycast@gmail.com.
Yeah. If you have any questions, drop us a line.
Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of questions on the show from people who are kind of newer to polygamy. We realize that there's, you know, cagey old veterans out there that have been doing this for a long time, but a lot of people, you know, and this show really is kind of an outreach kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's the idea.
And honestly, like, building polygamy kind of a community in your town and can be a lot of hard work.
Yeah, especially if there wasn't one there already.
Right.
Which I think a lot of people are in this position.
Right.
You feel isolated. You feel like there's a lot of people that are out there that are doing this, but you know, that's the thing about polygamy. You need the right number of people.
And it's right. Exactly. Right. And it's something that, you know, it's sort of a limitation of it. You
right.
know? Yeah.
It makes it a little difficult. I mean, it's in the word, right?
Right.
So need more people.
There's a lot going on online.
Yes, absolutely.
And you kind of want to figure out, like, how can we get these people, like, sort of show up all at the same place at the same time? It's not necessarily easy.
And honestly, you know, back when Eric and I were online, and we'd have done a lot of online stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was we learned a lot. We met a lot of great people.
Yep.
But we had a hard time trying to really connect with them.
Yeah. And if you really want to have an event, you know, like some kind of a marquee event, you've got to go through, I mean, it's hard work. You just go through you got to kind of put one foot in front of the other and try and build it up a little bit at a time. Cause it's not, you know, don't just think that you're going to come out there and be like, hey, I'm a polygamist, and all of a sudden people are just going to show up.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way.
It's the nature of the lifestyle, right? I mean, people aren't really, they don't really want to show up at some random house just because they think that this might be going on. They want to have that connection first. So, so really we want to just go through a couple of strategies of how to approach this, how to make it work.
I want to say we did talk about this a little bit a long time ago in one of our early episodes. Jim O'Kelly was our guest.
And he's great.
He's done a fantastic job building the whole thing up in Chicago. And so I recommend just go back, listen to that interview again. Jim knows some stuff. I mean,
and he took a lot of the strategies we're going to talk about and he just took them to the next level. I would say like 10 years ago, the polygamy scene in Chicago was nothing.
It was nothing. Exactly.
Enough
about that one. I mean, most of you have probably heard it, but right for today, we're really just going to kind of take it from the ground up.
Right. So the first thing you need to do is outreach.
Yeah.
And that takes the form of establishing a presence on the internet, in a local, you can find these easily, as we've talked about in previous episodes, like little polygamy meetup places.
Yep.
And just put up some posters, that sort of thing. And here's the key. Have those polygamy meetups on a regular basis.
Yeah. Even if no one shows up.
Even if no one shows up.
You're doing it and you're sort of establishing a presence and, you know, like you'll find out then if there's going to be any legal implications to it. Like,
sure.
Immediately.
Absolutely.
So if you're, say, okay, every third Friday at the Canterbury, you know, which is our little local bar that we have around here where we like to do some polygamy related stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like every third Friday at the Canterbury, like you'll know before you get too far into that if that's going to be a problem.
Right. And the establishment will tell you, like, some places are really cool about it. Like Canterbury is great about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they take it, you know, they don't care what you're doing there, but you just, you know, it's a great opportunity to just talk about the lifestyle, to share experiences, to sort of, you know, obviously meet like-minded people.
Yeah.
So that's I would say one of the first things.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, don't have too many expectations early on.
I think a lot of burgeoning people, they're just like, they're excited about it, and then they kind of,
someone shows up, they don't actually, you know, like swap a wife with you that very first time they show up. That's okay.
That's
part of the process.
And like, expected.
Yeah.
You may never see that person again.
Exactly.
So you just want to, you definitely want to, like, the cadence of the get together needs to be open. You know, there's a lot of, and we've talked about this so much on different episodes. There's a lot of nuances to polygamy. And,
there is.
You know, everyone's got their own set of rules. Yep. And so you want to be really open to that, because the goal isn't to make sure your set of rules is dominant or I don't know, another way, like the only thing you're talking about. It's all about getting... It's about getting as many people together to talk about polygamy as possible.
Sure.
You're trying to build that community.
You're kind of throwing up spaghetti against the wall, so it's going to
sure.
kind of a thing.
That's nice. Yeah, right. That's right. Sure.
Sure. So, you know, a lot of people might show up for these things. Some of them might be, you know, not ever allowed to show up again, maybe because they're... spouse had a different idea about what was going to happen or something, but that's okay, because the point is, you know, you've established this is something that's happening.
The more people that go, the more it becomes I don't want to say institution, but like a legitimate place for people to go. And then you can draw on that, and then friends talk to friends and
right. And it can be weird at first. I mean, like, what are you doing? You're all these people that are here and everybody's kind of pretending to be like a different, you know, like person in a different kind of relationship, and people don't understand it at first, and you know, they think, wow, what are all those nerds doing with the light? Yeah, so that part could be awkward too.
Yeah.
So, but it's okay. I mean, which kind of brings me to, I guess, the next thing about like public places.
Sure.
Right. If you try and, I mean, the first time you try and do something like this, if you just invite a bunch of people that you met online over to your house, things are going to go wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
Almost definitely. Like,
you should just buckle up and be prepared for that.
Right. You may just luck out and everything goes right, but probably not.
Yeah, there's going to be some crazy.
So start somewhere where, like, you just go to, like, a public place. Everybody puts their keys in a bowl.
Right.
Kind of just dock.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, see what happens.
And
much easier, much more low-key, much less intimidating.
Exactly. Exactly. So just have, like, a start time and a finish time. So nobody feels like overcommitted. Like, they get there, oh, I thought we were going to like have swapped wives in like an hour and a half. I got somewhere to be.
Right.
And so just as long as like more information is better.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that about covers it. I mean,
yeah.
It's all about presentation, and it's all about tenacity.
Mm-hmm.
Like you over and over and over and over and over again, you have to. And you're gonna dog these people, right?
Yeah, you really do.
You'll get a touch, and then you need to hound that touch forever.
I don't know about your crazy internet lingo or anything. I don't have a Facebook or anything, but
you know what I'm saying. A contact. Once you meet someone, you're gonna have to follow up.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to be all
nerdy
on you.
I'm like the old fashioned way where you just go and meet somebody at a bar and.
Yeah, I know. But in this day and age,
with their wife, you know, whatever.
But now it just doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like people, you know, part of what the internet has done is created this barrier of anonymity and like fear of strangers.
I guess I'm probably just old school.
That's fine.
There's something to be said for just the old fashioned. You know, like with the keys and the...
Oh, absolutely. I'm a huge fan of that.
We're trying to pull people from out of the online world and into something where you can kind of... That's like ongoing.
Yeah, that face-to-face interaction just really...
It's totally different
thing. That's what builds communities.
Right.
That's what builds communities.
Right.
All right, so we're going to transition to our next segment here. We're going to have a fantastic... We have some great strategies for...
Hot strats.
Yeah. Hot strats. And we're going to get into that next.
Yep.
I got to say, it was one of my favorite episodes of Polygamy Cast.
Exciting stuff. Really, really exciting stuff.
Well, I think we really help people.
Yeah, well, yeah. So
that's nice. It's the whole point, right?
Like I said, I mean, I keep saying this, but like if you're interested in Diplomacy Cast, you're probably interested in Polygamy Cast. You know, there's so much overlap. Like we go to tournaments, we just meet people that...
Actually,
we should maybe think about a crossover episode of that.
That's actually a great idea.
A great place to meet.
But you know who we should have as a guest is one of our favorite people.
Oh, nice segue.
Yeah,
nice segue.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for doing yeah. Okay, this one, a lot of you, another thing a lot of diplomacy players are interested in is Brian Shelton.
Because we are.
I mean, he's a diplomacy player, and
everyone's met him.
Great guy.
He's He's fantastic.
So
he's really one of the best people I've ever met.
Yeah. So maybe you do, maybe you don't know that we do a podcast that's actually just about Brian Shelton.
Yeah, it's a 3-time weekly podcast. Yeah,
just about Brian. Just about things Brian. That he does, and you know,
the interests he has.
Things we like about Brian.
Often we get him on the show, but I like
sometimes yeah.
This one is one of those times we didn't get him on the show.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, all right.
Which is
kind of buried the lead, I guess, or spoiled the. I don't know what you did there, but.
But it, I want to be. But I mean, yeah. I think it happens often enough, and I think it's. I think we did a really good job.
If you're gonna like Sheldon Kasker, you're gonna like the times he's on the show. You're gonna like the times he's not
exactly,
on the show.
Exactly, and that's why the show works.
Exactly. Exactly. So here's just a couple minutes from that.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, yeah, no, so that's all good stuff. That wraps up Brian Place.
I just feel like we should recap really quick, because there was a lot in that episode.
Yeah, okay.
And I feel like, I mean, after an hour and a half, people might have kind of fast-forwarded through some stuff, but just so you know what was in that.
Yeah, because we try and, you know, we want you to leave with practical things about Brian.
Absolutely.
That you can use. So, yeah, I don't know, you're right.
So we got through his favorite foods.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised by, but also intrigued by.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about triathlons.
Yep.
And his favorite, which I thought was a little surprising,
yeah,
is the bicycling.
Yeah, well, Sheldon, I mean, he's, you know, he can do all three.
He's amazing.
He's really been focusing on the bicycling lately.
Oh, man, I didn't realize that was his favorite, which is a good tip from you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So that was good.
What else? We wanted to kind of talk about his car a little bit.
We did that.
He has a really nice car.
He does.
That we like.
Right. And he still
Brian likes.
Well, you know, and also this is interesting, like, just in case and we talked about this for like 10 minutes, but as a Texan, he recycles.
He does.
Which is surprising. Yeah.
And he's
surprising.
A Democrat. I know. Well, you guys know about that.
Yeah, of course, obviously. But still, anyway, so good stuff in there. If you breeze through that hour and a half, you know, go back and give it a listen.
Yeah,
there's some really good tidbits in there.
There was the part about like what he does in diplomacy games sometimes.
Oh yeah,
that we didn't even. Yeah, I mean, we didn't get to spend enough time on that at all.
Right, but you know, we have a different podcast where I think we can.
That's true. That's that true. Sure. More. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, without further ado,
Our guest.
Yeah.
Our guest. He should be calling here just any second now.
Our guest today is going to be Brian Shelton.
As it is.
You know him. He lives in Austin, Texas. He's a diplomacy player, triathlon player. He drives an excellent car. Enjoys a lot of different foods.
And he occasionally wears cowboy boots.
He does.
Yeah.
He does like country music, which we didn't talk about on this episode.
But
he does like country music.
So we're just waiting for him to call in at this
he's
point.
He's a really good programmer. Writes software.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just give him.
Let's give him another minute.
A couple more.
Yeah, I mean, he'll call in. He called in.
Here, let's take a break.
Okay, then good idea. We'll come back after the break.
And
because he's gonna call in, and then we'll just turn this right back on when he does.
Right.
Perfect.
Well,
it's been, I would say, what has it been, 3 hours?
Yeah.
I don't think
3 hours.
We've decided he's not gonna call.
Mm-mm. I texted him. We've had a lot of wine.
Yeah.
At this point, because the thing where we were going to drink wine.
We did Sheldon Gas. We're going to drink some wine.
I'm not actually feeling very well at this point, but you know,
hey, you know what? He'll be in. You know,
Sunday's calls.
Right. On Friday's episode.
Probably.
He's absolutely going
to
call.
Probably, because we wanted to talk to him about app design a little bit. And,
uh-huh.
And so that'll
and be. And Sheldon Associates and how that
Sheldon
got,
Associates.
How that got put together.
Yeah. Places he's lived.
Yeah. So I don't want to say sorry, but Brian is an incredibly busy guy.
Good hour and a half. Yeah, that's true.
He's incredibly busy and incredibly important.
Hour and a half for you, 4.5 hours for us, but you got to spend some good time listening to us talk about him, and that's the important thing.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Anyway, thanks for joining us.
See you on Friday, guys.
See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sheldon Cast.
We'll talk to you soon.
Well, that was Sheldon Cast.
Yeah, and it's
really good.
If I'm being totally honest, that happens a lot.
Yeah. Well,
but you know,
not every time.
Sometimes
he's on the show,
but he does call in, and I just want to give you. I did. I don't know. I picked that clip, Eric.
No, it's a good. Yeah,
Eric picked the next clip. We kind of alternated.
It's kind of real. It was a good choice.
It was a good choice. It's very sort of like
we just gave you all the Sheldon all at once. I mean, yeah. It's like that's almost like cheating. Like,
exactly.
Then you're not going to actually go back and listen to the shows. And then,
are teaser clips.
Where are ratings if you don't do that, right?
Exactly.
Okay, no, now coming up now is one of my favorites.
This is your pick.
Yeah, this is, well, I mean, we're not leaving out Pantscast.
Of course
we're doing
not.
This. I mean,
I'll admit it's one of my favorites.
It's great. Just listen. It's so good. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 47 of Pantscast. I'm Eric Mead.
I'm Nathan Barnes.
We are feeling good today.
Feeling hot. This is going to be a great show.
A lot of pants-related subjects to talk about.
Oh, my God, yes.
Pantscast is a show about the article of clothing, pants.
Pants!
That are worn on your legs.
Mostly, yes. So we're going to tackle a couple of things today. One of the things we're going to talk about is capris. Are they pants or are they not?
Yeah.
They are not.
They are so pants. No, we are not starting this yet.
Oh, yeah, okay, we'll wait for it.
No, it's okay.
Well, we're also going to talk about the pants we're wearing right now.
Yeah,
as
we are.
We do every week.
We are, and the thing that you're saying about capri pants that's making me so mad already. our special guest today is Dave Krapowski.
Oh, yes.
Who is
fantastic.
Who is one of the top pants wearers in the entire world. And we'll ask him what he thinks about whether capris are pants or not.
Yes, he'll settle it for us.
Yeah.
And then finally, for our strategy section, we're going to talk about what kind of pants you should dress your kid in for their first pants tournament.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good episode, guys.
There's a lot of stuff there to break down. If you have any questions, any feedback, pantscast at pantsmail.com.
Pantsmail.com.
And subscribe to us on PantsTunes.
Absolutely. Oh my God, I love pants.
Pantscast. I wish we were recording that right now.
I know. Oh, shit.
Pantscast.
Love pants.
Okay.
All right.
What's up next?
Isn't it Bakerakery cast?
No, baked goods.
Bakery cast?
Baked goods cast.
Baked goods cast. You're right. I think it's baked goodies cast?
One of those.
All right.
It's one of those. I don't.
I picked this one out. I'm sorry.
I don't know why you chose this particular clip. On account of you and I were actually both out of town that week at a diplomacy trip.
I think it was
recorded, but
it was a fun way to talk about bake cast.
Baked goods.
Sorry.
Well,
baked goods.
I don't know. Like, I kind of disagree with this particular. Because we weren't on it, and we had guest hosts.
Noted.
But, no, they were good, and nothing against the guest hosts. They did an outstanding job.
It was my pick. Noted.
All right. No, anyway, it's a good segment.
It's a good podcast, so guys,
baked goods.
gmail.com. Sure.
You say so.
I think it's baked cast.
It might be.
Try both.
Listen.
Why are we doing this?
I'm not sure. Let's look at the sheet here. Oh, it says here baked goods cast.
Baked goods cast.
Well, all right. I'm an expert in that subject.
Fascinating, Sean.
As are you, Sean.
I am absolutely an expert. Well, why did Nathan and Eric ask us to do this?
They are extremely busy people, and we've proven competent substitutes over
here. That is true.
It was like that time in 1971 when Marcel Marceau and you...
Oh, yes, I remember.
And also I.
Yes, it was a quiet meetup.
We were substituting in a podcast which hadn't been invented, but it was all right because none of us were speaking that day.
It was a fascinating. You know, this reminds me of the time.
Yes.
When I ordered, because this is baked goods.
Oh, yes, it is.
I had my favorite baked good.
A scone. A scone is a wonderful baked good, and that's
bollocks and blasphemy. You know the crumpets better, Sean.
The scone has always been, and always will be, the paramount and apex of baked goods.
Look, we don't have time for this discussion right now.
We certainly do.
We have a sheet right here. It reads, discuss different matters related to crumpets and scones.
Scones.
Aye.
Because when I've had a scone in the past, I'll prefer a fruit scone.
Very well. I engage you on this subject.
Touché. The last time I had a scone,
yes,
and they're always most delicious when you slap them.
They are. That's true.
Thank you.
Yes.
I've enjoyed the scone, slapped, filled with apricots.
Yeah.
Much better, in my opinion, in every case, in every way, than a crumpet. Which are the devil's work.
Your point is well stated.
Thank you.
Clearly wrong.
I've never liked you.
I've never liked you either. Ever since that time in Mexico, 1941.
We said we'd never talk about that.
Very well. Your story...
Tell me about crumpets.
Crumpets, they're outstanding.
That's a lie.
Pop them in
a dirty lie when you propagated it the first time. It's a dirty lie now.
First of all, I propagated it for the first time not 15 seconds ago, so you don't have to talk about it like it's ancient history.
Everything's ancient history.
That's true.
Thank you. Once again, the scone is much better than the crumpet.
You've derailed my argument.
And won.
Bastard.
And won.
Very
you well. Take one crumpet to the morgue, I put two scones in jail.
I see.
There's a lot of scones in jail.
Well, this will be more
I've never been to jail.
Than I originally expected. I was in jail once, 1979.
It was 78.
It was 78, you're right, because John McCain and I... We're both prisoners of war.
Oh, I remember this.
He had been caught by the Vietnamese. I had been caught by Michael Jackson. A young, svelte Michael Jackson.
He was very small.
You know what food he enjoyed? The crumpet. That Michael Jackson.
Then, just because Michael Jackson enjoyed a crumpet does not mean the crumpet is better than the scone, which is clearly better when slapped.
Michael Jackson sold more albums than you'll ever sell in your entire life, no matter how many gospel albums you record.
It's 13 for the record. Still, scones are better. Always been better.
Damn you, Sean, you drive a hard bargain.
Thank you, Sean. And I think that concludes our episode in scones being much better than crumpets. Wherever Nathan and Eric are, they're bollocks.
You've won this round, Sean, but I'll win the war.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Big guest.
Hey, I liked that episode.
I know you did. It was good. It was totally good. Totally good episode. I mean, you know, I might have chosen a different... One that we were on.
You know, fine. There's
114 episodes that we were on and one that we weren't. Mm.
You know,
we know a lot more about... They could nothing, you know, they did good.
Look, it was a funny episode. They thought about crumpets and scones.
It was funny. I get it. Yeah, no,
it doesn't sound like you think it's
funny. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be negative. Look,
you pick the next one, tell us all about it. Tell us all about it, Eric. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so we do one about, like, fishing.
We do this. This is amazing that we do this.
It's really good. Once a week, cast. Where you just cast your line. Well,
your here, thing.
Just
yeah,
listen.
It's good.
Just listen. Yeah, so, Cast. Here we go. Fishing.
Yes. So you remember from the other weeks we described having a fishing pole and finding water,
right?
And
we thought lakes were good, and
no, we thought rivers were good.
Well, they're both good, but I mean, lakes are better, right?
Rivers are better.
All right. Well, anyway, this week we're going to talk about, you know, actually casting your line,
your thing
out there in the river. Fine, river.
Lake.
Whatever.
River.
No,
thank you.
Fine.
We could do lake. We could do lake.
No. Okay. So you've got your box.
I think it's a Yeah, but it's full of the hook things.
Yeah. The bait. No,
and bait. Yeah, I think bait. You need bait.
And also hooks.
Right, okay. So
you got it.
You're there, and just to make Eric happy, you're there next to your body of water.
Yeah.
And what you want to do is open up your box,
mm-hmm.
and you want to fill it, fill your line with bait.
Bait, which is something that fish like to eat.
Fish, as yes.
Long-time listeners to this show will know. Bait is what fish like to eat.
And right.
And you take that, and you put it on your
lure.
Yeah.
Hook.
Yeah.
And then you...
Lure. Did we say lure before?
I think we did.
That's a thing.
Yeah. And then you just cast it.
Cast it on out there.
Yeah.
That's why we're talking about it on episode 3 of Cast, which we're doing right now.
Which is one of our favorite.
Which is an excellent. Yeah. So
you're there.
Yeah.
And there's the water.
It's our power place.
I don't know
if we said that
it's
before.
Power, you're there.
And you're in the water, and you just cast that sucker on out there, just as hard as you can.
And then you wait.
That's right. Yeah, you can drink some beer while you're waiting, right?
Or something.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what they, yeah. No, I mean, there's no real downside to drinking beer.
No.
I don't think. You do that.
Super
cool. And then you're in your boat still at this point.
Or thing, yeah.
Yeah. And then you wait and you drink your beer and I think probably a fish
might.
Yeah.
So that'll be our next episode.
Yeah.
What happens when
the fish
does whatever it does. I think it bites the. Anyway, next week.
So to recap on this.
Good. Let's recap. Absolutely.
Get the line in the box. Cast that sucker
the water.
On out there. This has been episode 3 of Cast. I'm Eric Mead.
Nathan Barnes.
Talk to you soon.
Please talk.
Yeah, that one was good.
Yeah, I love Cast.
Glad we included that. It's you know, a newer show.
But yeah. You know, my last pick is our newest show.
Yeah.
The one we just
started.
We only have one episode.
We recorded it right before this one.
Yep.
We already got a clip from it. So thanks to David for his excellent effort editing all of our shows.
Our producer
David,
who is amazing.
Great job.
Seriously, high five.
Mm-hmm.
So
this one's called
Cast.
Oh yeah.
It's a podcast about the podcast Cast.
That's right.
We break down
different episodes of Cast.
Yeah, so this one breaks down the episode you just listened to, so it should be a nice
fair. Yeah, the first two we didn't do a Cast for those, but then for episode 3
because there was just so much content.
There was.
Yeah.
You really don't need it. So Cast. Oh my god, this is so stupid.
It is not.
Why are we doing
stupid?
This? No. Cast? Are you serious?
We need another podcast. We need another pun.
We do like 75 podcasts.
It doesn't matter. We need another podcast. It's all about aggregation. It's all about the only way where this is going to make any money for us is if we have more podcasts.
I haven't seen my girlfriend in like a week.
Who gives it? I don't care.
Okay.
Cast is a podcast. It's not a diplomacy cast. It's a different thing we do. It's a podcast about the podcast Cast that we do once a week.
Yeah.
This week, we're going to talk about, as our first episode, we're going to talk about the previous episode of Cast, where we talked about how do you get to a body of water that you're going to cast into.
Episode 3.
What was interesting about that episode is the approach to the water. You know, how do you choose the water? Is it a lake? Is it a pond?
Is it
a stream?
I don't want to be a negative Nelly here. In Cast episode 3 that we're discussing on this episode of Cast.
Yeah, I remember
we
that.
We couldn't even agree on which body of water.
That was where the interesting stuff was.
I don't think that was interesting. I really don't. Okay. No. Go ahead.
So which one of these things? I want to talk about why why a pond versus a lake, that subtle difference is so important.
You know what? Casting. Let's just get to the email. Let's see if there's any castcastcast@gmail.com.
Look, there isn't any because it's episode one and we're just trying to start. But
oh, actually, there is one here.
Well, then freaking read it.
Hey guys, love the show, Larry Perry.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Thanks for listening.
That would be great if
you know. I can't do this. I can't do this. This is so stupid.
Not stupid.
Cast.
It's not stupid. It's brilliant.
Go on.
It's interesting that Larry Perry was able to find it.
It's not interesting. Nothing about that is interesting. He emails all our shows like every week, and I gotta go.
You don't have to go. We gotta finish this.
We haven't left the studio in 2 days. I smell. I need a shower.
If you're just gonna storm out like that, fine. We're done.
Come on, just smell me.
No,
smell me.
I'm not smelling you.
I gotta go. Okay, yeah, so we hope you enjoyed that little clip of Cast.
That's another good podcast we do.
I'm
excited about that podcast.
Well, we got to wrap it up. We're kind of right at the end here. Coming up next week on the Diplomacy Cast.
We have some alliance strategies that we're going to be talking about. And
I don't know why we say next week. We never make these. We're way too busy.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
It's fine. Yeah, the next episode.
It's going to be alliances.
The episode 29.
Yeah, 29.
Yeah.
And then I think we're going to preview a little bit Worlds.
We'll try and get a guest.
Any suggestions for a guest, please let us know.
Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Diplomacy Cast. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Wasn't it fun?
It was great.
I had a great time.
Yeah, definitely. For Nathan Barnes, I'm Eric Mead. Signing off. We'll talk to you next time.
For Eric Mead, I am a giant 13-foot-tall chocolate banana.
I was just trying to sound like a radio guy. That's what I get. Bye, everyone.